All right, we're thankful for everyone that's here today. And most of all, as we often say,
we're most thankful they've done it. It's taken care of. Yes, Flash. Thank you.
We're thankful for the Lord and what He's done.
Amen.
Probably for those that haven't heard, you know, Sister Reed is moving away from us. And that's kind of a bittersweet. I feel like the Lord has a purpose in all that He does. And He has a reason for it. And He can use her in another spot better than He can use her here. But we thank the Lord for her having been here. And we thank the Lord also. The thought comes to me as I was meditating on, Lord, what is it that You would have us to minister on today? And I thought about how we have in our congregation had some people that we had believe the Lord was really has used. The friendship were here with us for several years, and we thank the Lord for them. They were older couples, and now the Lord's removing the top part. What I mean, the older ones. Not just taking them on to heaven, but taking them on to other ministries where the Scripture says in one place in Psalms it brings out that they might bring forth fruit in their old age. And I thank the Lord for that. And I thought about how the Lord has a reason for doing those things. And part of the reason for the Lord removing those in older people is to allow those that are younger to move up into their places. And I thought of how these people that were once young, old, that are now old, were once young. And the Lord used them in that capacity. And I thought also, if we can all remember somebody that was that the Lord used in a great way, if I opened up the floor and we began to speak about folks that have had some great influence, spiritual influence on your life and who they were, they're not folks that everybody knows their name. They're not people that the world understands who they are. They're people that you saw their lives. You watched how they lived around you. You watched them going through trials and tests and problems that you go through, and you saw how the Lord's anointing was on their life. Let me tell you, if you're preaching and the Lord's anointing is not on your life, it's not going to be in whatever ministry it is that you have. Whether it's song, whether it's preaching, whether it's teaching, we need to have the anointing of the Holy Ghost on our lives. As we say oftentimes, the people that are in our homes, the ones that are working with us, the ones that are in closest proximity to us, when they see us with our hair let down, so to speak, when they see us in a very casual setting, those are the people that should be able to testify and witness that this man or this woman is a man or woman of God. And if they can't do it, then you have a problem. And the problem isn't those individuals that they just don't understand, and they just don't see me. And if they understood what I had to go through and all that I was dealing with, then they wouldn't be so hard on me. No, that's not it. The Lord wants to know how you respond to all the dealings of the Lord. Everything that He allows to happen to your life, He allows to happen to your life for a reason. And all that, sometimes that reason is for you to understand what you have on hand. I realize and have known over the years that some of the trials and tests that I had was because the Lord wanted to deal with me. The Lord, maybe somebody is saying, well, you know, you're kind of impatient, or you're kind of whatever it may be. And the Lord, and you say, no, that's just kind of how I am. And we excuse it for whatever reason. We excuse it and we say, you know, that's just how I am. And then the Lord puts us in a trial and we have to understand, you know what? There is something that the Lord's dealing with me in this trial. There's something that the Lord's trying to bring to the surface and trying to get me to understand that I've got a problem. I'm the one with the problem. Not everybody around me so much, but I'm the one with the problem. And when I acknowledge that and I come to the understanding that I'm the one with the problem, then it gives me some ability to begin to work on the problem and confess my faults. Because I'm quick. I'm saying this in a general term. I'm quick to confess yours. I'm quick to tell you what's wrong with you. And I'm quick to excuse and justify whatever issues that I'm going through. But I realize that the Lord wants me to understand, no, you've got some issues that you need to deal with as well. And when you take care of your issues, then all the other issues will begin to fall into place. All the other things that people are dealing with, all the things that you have to say about them, they're not so important as what's important is you. What somebody does to me is not going to stop me from going to heaven. All right? What I do to them may stop me from going to heaven. But what they do to me, no matter how bad it is, no matter how terrible it may be of what those individuals are doing against me, God wants me to respond in the proper way. And this is what makes a good saint. This is what makes a good old saint. But the old saint didn't start doing that when they were 75 or 65. Well, when you get to 55, then I'm going to really get down in God. No, that's too late. The time to get down in God is when you know you need to get down in God. And that time is right now. What God wants of you and what God is requiring of you, He wants you to do it now. Tomorrow is not promised to us. If you're going to be a good saint when you get 70, you better start right now. Because the trials and the tests that you're going through on a day-to-day basis now are going to affect, and they are going to build, and they're going to strengthen you, and they're going to get what we learned in Sunday school this morning. You're going to remember how God blessed you back then, and that's what gives you the faith to believe Him now. Not only that, but you're going to see what other folks have gone through, what other saints have gone through, and how they have dealt with it, and how God has blessed them. And if God can do it for them, God can do it for me as well. And so my responsibility, your responsibility, is to say, Lord, have mercy on me. I want to get to the place that I can be used for you no matter how old I am. All right? You don't have to be in your 30s or 40s or 50s before the Lord uses you. Let me tell you. Now I'm going to get to my text. All of this is kind of tied in here. Let me tell you what the story is. The Lord wants to use teenagers. He wants to use 20-somethings. He wants to use 30-somethings and 40-somethings and 50-somethings and 60-somethings. He wants to use everybody. And it starts today. You've got to come to the conclusion and to the realization and understanding and the commitment to the Lord. Lord, whatever it takes, I'm willing to do it. You heard a little bit of my testimony. At age 19, the Lord called me to the ministry. I didn't start preaching, but I knew at 19 that I was going to be a minister. And during that period of time, for 6 years, He worked with me. He dealt with me. He dealt with my level of consecration. All the things that I wanted to do, all the things that I wanted to be in this life. And I don't want to just talk about me. I'm giving an example. This is my story of what God wanted to do. And the reason I'm saying that is because I want to put in the minds of the young people that the Lord can use you when you're young. Now, did I go around telling everybody that I'm going to be a preacher? No. Generally, we don't want to do that, do we? We don't want to be preachers. All right? So, the Lord knows what He wants. But our responsibility is to allow the Lord to prepare us for what He wants us to be. He sees the future. I never thought I'd be standing here ministering to a congregation in my early life. And then when I knew what the Lord was going to do, I still, sometimes it baffled me. Now let's go to my point, and we'll tie all this in by the help of the Lord. 2 Kings, a very familiar text of Scripture. 2 Kings, the second chapter. And I'll bring it to this point. When I was, during that time, I say a preparation time, as the Lord deals with an individual and begins to tell him what the level of consecration that He wants that person to make, is that person's responsibility to do that, right? To make that level of consecration to the Lord. And as I said, it's not too soon now. Let's go to 2 Kings, the second chapter, and I want to read starting at the first verse. Let's just read that, and I'll try to tie all this in. Came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah with a whirlwind. Elijah went with Elijah from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee. Now, we want to make an understanding. Elijah, J-A-H, this is the elder. This is the person that is the older. And Elisha, S-H-A, he is the one that is the younger, that is coming up under. He is the tutor. One being tutored, I guess you would say. He's the one that has some things to learn. And God is wanting to teach him some things. And I want you to watch, as we read this story, I want you to watch what Elisha does. I want you to watch the interaction between the two of them, all right? Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophet that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, and he said unto him, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from your head today? And he said, yes, I know it, but I want you to hold your peace. Just be quiet about it. Elijah said unto Elisha, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Now, here is Elisha having an understanding. And not only does Elisha have the understanding, but the sons of the prophet. Now, I want to put it in this term, and I want you to understand it in this way. The sons of the prophet would be people that were basically scholars that had learned the ways of the prophet and whatnot. You might say that these individuals were church-going people, that they were the people that were grew up in the church, and that they were saints or saints' children, or they had been around the church all of their life, and the Lord revealed to them that he was getting ready to do something extraordinary with Elijah. All right, so not only did Elisha understand it, but they understand it. Don't you know, why are you following him? And Elijah is saying, you know what, Elisha, I want you to stay right here because the Lord is sending me to another place. He said, no, I'm not leaving you. Because there is something that I want to get from you. There is something that you have that I need. There is something that you have that has impressed me over the years, all the time that I've seen you and I've worked with you and I've seen you under pressure and whatnot. There is a spirit that you have that I've got to have, that spirit, and I'm not going to leave you. As long as you're alive, I'm going to be right here. I'm going to touch you until the Lord takes you away. That was his determination. And let me say this to you. We need to be in a place that we can touch the Lord, those that have been around and those that the Lord has used and those that the Lord is using right here, right now. The Lord can do whatever it is that he wants to do. And our responsibility is to say, Lord, I'm going to stay as close to those that are close to you as I possibly can. Now, what tends to happen is over a period of time, folks will begin to kind of drift apart. If you're not as spiritual as you need to be, and there's somebody else that is more spiritual, and they're getting closer and closer to God, and rather than you drawing and being sucked into it, what we begin to do is we begin to drift apart. There's something wrong with me. Lord, help us. I want what you have for me, Lord. I want whatever it is that you've got for me. I want it. This is what Elijah was saying. You've got something, Elijah. And it's as long, you can go to Bethel, you can go to Jericho, you can go anywhere you want to, but you can't make me not hold on to you. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to get what you've got. I'm determined by the grace of God to have the level of anointing in my life that you have. And whatever it takes, that's what I'm willing to do. I've seen it. And I know that God is no respecter of persons. What he did for you, Elijah, he'll do for me. What he did for the old folks, for the old-time saints, he'll do it for us. His power has not diminished. Lord, help us to believe that. And Lord, help us to make the consecration to stay right close to you as long as it takes. All right, read, please. The sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha, and they said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? Yea, I know it. Just hold your peace. Now, I wonder if those were trying to discourage him. Now, listen, I know you just came from Bethel, and I know you're going to Jericho, and he's probably going to go somewhere else. Elisha, why are you going through all this trouble? Don't you know the Lord's getting ready to take him? Just allow the Lord to do what he's going to do. I'm not going to stop the Lord, Elisha's saying. I'm not stopping the Lord from doing it, but I want to see it. I want to be there. I want to be a part of it. I know what the Lord is going to do, and hold your peace. Don't try to convince me not to go with him. I want to go. And it's nothing that you're going to say that is going to deter me. I'm determined to get what I need from God. I'm going to do it. All right? Six. Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. So in other words, maybe he's gotten discouragement from the saints. He's gotten discouragement from the prophet. Now, why do you suppose the prophet was saying this? Maybe it was because he was trying to be humble and he didn't want him to see all the things that what God was about to do. Or maybe it was simply because he wanted to say, you know what? The Lord's wanting to test this young man. And the Lord's wanting to test him to see whether or not you'll stand firm, even if you go through some trials, even if you go through some places that are discouraging, and even if that discouragement comes from somebody that you have a level of confidence in. Do you know that the folks that we have confidence in, sometimes they can say some things that are pretty hard. Sometimes that they can say some things and tell us about ourselves in a way that we just got to go over and we got to go and get some grace, don't we? We wanted them to understand and try to understand, well, I'm trying to go with you, Elijah, but every time I'm trying to go with you, then you say something discouraging. And that discouraging thing has affected me, and so now that can cause me not to be as close to you as I want to be, and so I can drift apart, and I'm here and I'm watching you as everybody else is. I'm watching what the Lord is doing with you. But Elisha said, no, that is not going to happen to me. There is nothing, Elijah, that you can do to discourage me. There is nothing that you can say to deter me from being able to go after what I believe the Lord has for me. I've been impressed with your life. I've been impressed with the influence, and I want some of that by the grace of God. Not just to consume it on my own lust, but I want it because it's for me. I don't want everybody looking up to me and thinking all these great things of me, because that's not how I see you. I just see the Lord's anointing in your life. I see the humility of heart. I see the power with the Lord and the power among the people. And I believe that the Lord has that for everybody. It's not just one person. He has it for me. All right? So don't try to deter me, saints. Don't try to deter me. Well, you know what? You don't have to get that deep in the Lord. Well, all that ain't necessary. You don't have to do that and be saved. But do I have to do it in order to become like Elijah, to get my double portion? Do I have to do it? If that's what it takes, then allow the Lord to use you in that kind of a capacity. The Lord is not going to give you a depth of power and love and soundness and anointing in your life if you don't make some kind of consecration and some kind of sacrifice. It just is not going to happen. And I want you to do this. I want you to look at the lives of the people that said, oh, that's not necessary. And look at the lives of the people that, you know, that did it, not just because somebody told them to do it, but because there was some depth in their heart where they realized that the Lord is pleased with what I'm doing. Look at the anointing on their lives and look at the anointing on the other's lives and tell me which one you would rather have. It is not that we live as close to the world as we possibly can and still be saved. The Lord is calling for something higher, something more, a greater level of consecration, a greater determination. I've got to do this by the help and the grace of God. I've got to go a little bit deeper. I've got to do a little bit more. The world is getting worse. What my mother used to say, which is one of an example of me. You know, you never thought your mother was spiritual. She was mama. But then when they go, when the Lord takes them and you know the Lord is taking them, you realize that there's a hole that's left in your heart that cannot be filled. But I say, Lord, if you did it for mama, you can do it for me. If you did it for our fathers, you can do it for us as well, Lord. And Lord, I want to fill that hole. Maybe the shoes are too big, but I'll grow into them. I'll do it by the grace of God. I've got a determination in my heart that I'm going to go all the way with you, whatever it takes. Lord, help us. All right, read.
7 and 50 men.
50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. So he is here, and 50 of the sons of the prophets, they're standing. Where are they standing? Afar off. Do you suppose that those that are standing afar off is going to receive the same blessing as those that are right close, that when the Lord sends down whatever he's going to send down for Elijah, do you suppose that those 50 that are standing afar off is going to receive it? The same thing that Elisha is going to receive? You suppose that there's a difference because there's a difference in their commitment. There's a difference in the way that they think about it. There's a difference in what they see. So therefore, there's going to be a difference in their level of what God gives them as opposed to what God gives Elisha. May the Lord help us that when you stand afar off, when you decide in your mind that, oh, that ain't necessary. We ain't got to do all that and be saved. You don't got to do all that. No, you don't, but you got to do what God tells you to do. And maybe it's just simply that God gave Elisha this drive and this determination, because what happens is we can't be drawn to him unless he draws us. All right? And so there is something special that God gives Elisha, and he did that. Gave Elisha and Elijah, and it was tested. Let me tell you, when the Lord gives you something special, it's going to be tested. There are going to be all kinds of obstacles that come, all kinds of discouragement, all kinds of distractions that come that gives you the justification not to do what God has given you the right to do. All right? So they stood, 50 of them stood afar off, and they watched. They watched what was happening. Elijah took his mantle. He wrapped it together, and he smote the waters. Now, this is Jordan, the Jordan River. So it's not just a little bitty pond or a creek. I've got a creek in the back of my house, right? And you really don't have to smite it with a mantle to get across on the other side. Oh, it's maybe 20 feet across. But you can find a little spot. You can find a little spot and where the dirt's not, where the water's not very deep, and you can jump across on the other side. Some places not even that far. This was not that kind. It wasn't a little creek. It was Jordan River. All right? That overfloweth its banks at the time of harvest. All right?
And they were divided hither and thither.
He watched what he did. He said he took his, he wrapped it together, smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither
so that
they too went over on dry ground. All right. So this was the crossing. This was. And you know, we often say in that the children of Israel, they came across the Red Sea, right? That was the first step that they went. And the Red Sea, they came out of Egypt, which Egypt is a type of sin, right? It's a type of sin. They were in bondage, and they had masters, and they were under slavery. And so, in Egypt. And so they were under sin. And so what happened is God called Moses to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt and across the Red Sea. The Red Sea is a type of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so what happened is the children of Israel went from Egypt across the Red Sea, which is a type of the blood of Jesus Christ, and to a state where they were no longer in bondage. They had a level of freedom. And they were in the wilderness for supposedly just a few days they were supposed to be there. But because of their disobedience to the Lord, they wandered around in that wilderness state in a justified, and it's what we call a justified state. They are saved. They're saved from Egypt, but they're not where God wants them to be. Because what God was calling them to was the land of Canaan. Now, the land of Canaan is a type of a sanctified experience. It is a type of where the blood, Spirit of the Lord indwells in us and enables us and gives us power and enables us to live a righteous and a holy life. It enabled the children of Israel to go against the giants, to walk around the walls of Jericho and shout their praise, and what destroyed the enemy was praise. So there was this anointing, this infilling of the Spirit of God when they crossed over what? The Jordan River. All right? So the Jordan River, and what did they have to do? They had to step on it by faith. Y'all know the story. So they had to step into the water by faith, and the water parted for the children of Israel. And they crossed over on the other side. And they were in the land of Canaan. Now they faced the giants. They faced the hard trials. You think you had it tough when you're in the wilderness, but it was a type of an infilling of the Spirit of God. It was a type of sanctification. It was a type that we go a little bit further, not just justified experience, but a sanctified experience. Now I can face the things that I've got to face. I can overcome the things that I must overcome. I can have the victory in my life. And let me tell you, if you don't have victory in your life like you need it, have you sought the Lord for sanctification? Have you sought the Lord for an infilling of the Holy Ghost, and that enables and it gives us power to live a sanctified and a holy and a righteous and an anointed life? We can't do it without that. And the Lord enables us by His grace to do it. Every giant, whatever the giant of depression, it's a giant to some, isn't it? The giant of lust, the Lord can give us power against those things, and He can give us whatever it is that the devil has come against us, God can give us power. Now, I said all of that to say that we're talking about the same Jordan River. So now, Elisha has hit the river with this mantle, and this mantle was a type of a mantle that showed that he was a prophet. It distinguished him as a prophet of God. All right, and he took the mantle, he wrapped it together, he smote the waters, and here now the waters divided, and he was able to walk across on dry land, he and Elisha. Now, wouldn't that have been something to see? What if you were there? What if you were there and he smote the waters and you saw that, you know what? Well, if the Lord will do it for him, will he do it for you? Did you learn something from that? When you were in the trial with your mother, with your father, with the saints of God, the saints of old, and we can name them, can't we? Some that weren't so old, but they were true and faithful to the Lord. When they were in the trial, did you see the Lord work a miracle in their lives? Did you see something special that you hadn't seen before? Did you take note to it? Did you forget it? Did you just dismiss it as being something that was casual and something that just happened in the moment? Or was this something that was important to you and you made special note that when I'm in a place like that, when I get to that crossing right there, then this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what they did because it worked for them. It'll work for me. If they can trust and depend on the Lord through these hard places in their lives, can I do that? When I come to that place where it seems like there's no other way, can I do the same thing that they do? That's why the Lord allows us to be in contact with individuals that go through these kinds of places, because He realizes you're going to come to those places at some point in your life. Or you're going to help somebody else come when they come to this crossing at some point in their life. And what are you going to be able to tell them? Well, this is what I do know. I do know that if you live close enough to the Lord and you pray and you seek the Lord, well, it didn't work for so-and-so, but I know it worked for this person. And the reason I know it worked for them, I look at their lives. I look at their lives and I look at how they've lived their life and how the Lord blessed them in what they were doing. And they came to this place, this crossing, that was a difficult place, and the Lord took them through, and I believe He'll take me through, and I believe He'll take you through. All right, read. It came to pass, as they were going over, Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of my spirit be upon you. Now, you know what this is? This is a type of sanctification, isn't it? And what do we have to do? Again, over the Jordan River. They went over the Jordan River. And they went over there by faith. It's the same thing as the children of Israel stepping down while the water overflowed. It's the same thing. The water is still there. He takes the mantle, he hits it, and the water departs, and he walks over on into a sanctified, I'm going to use that word, into a Canaan land experience. And it's something deeper than what he has right now. And it's something more than what he has. And then what does Elijah say? Elijah says to him, listen, what do you want? Elijah says to Elisha, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do before I'm taken away? You know I'm going to be taken away. There's been witnesses. The Lord's given witnesses to those 50 men back there that are watching, that watched us do this. He gave them to the people at Bethel, the church at Bethel. He gave it to the church at Jericho. The Lord gave witness and understanding that I'm getting ready to go. You know it. I know it. What do you want me to do?
Elijah, I wonder. Let's see, what should I ask for? Was that
what he did? He did not, without hesitation, he said, I want a double portion of what you got. I want a double portion of it. The spirit that you have, I want a double portion of it. I've seen how the Lord has used you. I've seen what the Lord has done to you, and I want that. I've seen how you're going through your trials and going through you're human, but I've watched you. And I've watched how the Lord has miraculously used you, and I know that God is no respecter of person. That's what I want. Give me a double portion. And he says, you know what? It really is not mine to give. He said, you asked for something that's hard. He said, but if you see me when I go up. Is that what he read?
And he said, thou hast
asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. So what he's saying is, all right, you've passed all the other tests. You've passed the test and nothing is going to distract you. Nothing is going to deter you. You're going to hold on to me. You walk across the Jordan River. You're in a whole other place that those people are not in right now. And you're wanting a double portion, but you still got to do something. There's still a level, you think that you've got a level of consecration and a level of dedication that you've had up to this point. Let me tell you, saints, sometimes the Lord takes us through difficult places and we think that we've got it all together. We got everything that we need and the Lord is saying, I want you to go a little bit more. Those things that are going to come at you, right now you're in a good place and I think it's a good place for you to be close to that prophet and he can help pray you through. But what happens when God takes him on? What's going to happen then? Where are you going to be then? What are you going to do then? He said, so there are going to be some things that are going to happen. There are going to be some things that come your way, and it depends on how you respond to those things as to whether or not you're going to get the double portion of the Spirit, whether or not you really believe. You know the type of sanctification, you've got to believe it. If you come down to an altar of prayer and I lay hands on you and I pray for you and you don't believe that God is going to give you His Spirit, then you're not going to get it. Or if there's something in your life that's not completely clear or clean and God wants to talk to you about it, you're not really willing to do that just yet, you're not going to get it. But when you have laid out and you've made the sacrifice, Lord, it doesn't matter. I'm yours. I'm all yours. I'll die for you. I'll live for you. I'll give up everything for you, Lord. That's what I want to do. And saints, that's what it's going to take. We don't belong to ourselves. When we come and we're seeking the Lord for sanctification, you know what it's all about? It is now that I'm giving myself up, then now you can control me. I'm yours. I gave you my testimony. And I know this is not just my testimony, but it's a lot of folks' testimony. Those that have gotten deep in the Lord, it may not be. You suppose I can make more money than more money if I did something different? Is that what it's all about? You know what the Lord gave me? I don't care about money. I need it. But I've never been able to work for it. You understand what I'm saying? That's what motivated me. Some people are like that. I just happen to be one. Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not so good. Got to find the balance. Lord, help us. But Elisha passed that test. Now he was at the one that was the hardest to get what he needed. To get what he asked for, he had to do something. All right, read, please.
And it came to pass as they still went on.
This came to pass as they still went on. They talked.
And behold,
I wonder how long they talked. I wonder what they talked about. I wonder what kind of advice Elijah gave to Elisha. Have you ever wished sometime that you could just talk to some of the old-time saints? And you could just say, listen, when you were in a situation like that, what did you do? What do you do? And you know what probably, and you know what I found when I've talked to them? Most of their answers are simple. You know what it consists of? Humble yourself, honey. Child, humble yourself and pray. Have faith. Believe the Lord. It's not necessarily something that we want to, we have entered a generation that is so intellectual that we're far more intellectual than we are spiritual. Those old time folks did not have half the college education If you put all of them together, they didn't have half the college education that's sitting on this side of the church or that side. They didn't have half of it, but let me tell you what they did have. They had, do you suppose they had more power than what's collective here? Lord, help us. Their education, what they got, they got degrees in neology. They went to the Bible. They got to know God. They didn't know all about the E squared equal MC squared or whatever it was. I don't know about it either. They didn't know all of that. But they knew the one that knew everything about it. They knew that. They didn't know all this algebra, geometry, and all of this philosophy and all this kind of thing, but they knew God. And that's what's most important, saints. It'll take you through anything. It'll take you through all the trials, all the testings of your life. All right? They still went on and they talked. Behold. Now, they talked about some certain things, and here you are just walking, and talking about the things and thinking, okay, Lord, what other question do I need to ask you, Elijah? Well, what about this? I already answered that, Elisha. I know, but just say it one more time. I want to get it down in the depths of my heart. I want to know everything you know. Tell me everything. But what Elijah probably told Elisha is, I don't have all the answers, Elisha. But let me introduce you to the one that has all the answers. You go to God. You stop putting all of your confidence in me and in men and whatnot. It's all right for you to do it to the level that you're doing it, but you get to know God. You get to know God for yourself. And then you can ask Him all the questions that you have at any given time, and He has all the answers. Isn't that wonderful? I believe that with all of my heart. All right, read. Okay, there appeared, as they walked on, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Now, I wonder, can y'all let me see this? Can you let me believe it this way? In my mind, they were walking, and I believe that Elijah probably had his hand or were holding hands or something. They were close. In other words, you ain't getting away from me. You can run. You can do whatever you want to do. But I'm holding on to you. And maybe had his arm around him. And they're walking and they're talking. And maybe he had his head leaned on his shoulder. And he knows that God's getting ready to take him at any moment. And he can feel it. Sometimes you know when the Lord is near, don't you? You know it in the depths of your heart. And maybe he held on to him, grabbed him by the elbow, and just, you know how you kind of, somebody else's elbow is there, and you're holding on to it, and you're not going to let him go. And here comes this trial towards you. This is a trial, saints. Here's this horse and chariot of fire that is going to go and take him. And what do you suppose that Elisha is doing, the younger one? What do you suppose he's doing? In my mind, he said, I'm not going to let you loose. He's going to have to tear you loose from me in order for that chariot to get you. And he seen it and he said, oh, what did he say? Came to pass. Uh-huh.
Elijah saw it.
And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. So he's holding on to him. Now this chariot with horses of fire, that would be enough for you to close your eyes and get out the way. Wouldn't it? That would be the natural reaction. But the Lord put something in this man's mind. This trial is coming toward you. This testing. It is the thing that will convey Elijah out of this world into heaven. It came from heaven and it's coming down and it's coming toward him. And it's going to convey Elijah up to heaven. And it's going to convey to me, Elisha, a double portion of his spirit. The same trial. The same set of horses. They were the messengers of God. Do you know sometimes the trials that we go through, they are the messengers of God that are able to convey to us. It may not seem like they are, but they're able to convey to us the message from heaven. That, Lord, I've asked for something of you. I've asked for a double portion of your spirit. I want more than what I have. I'm not satisfied with what I've got. And the Lord's saying, you see that trial that's barreling toward you? There's no way for you to get out of its way. You see that trial? You see what's happening right there? And it's coming so fast at you. That's what's going to get you what you've asked for. It's going to bring it to you. But Lord, I didn't want the trial. did you want my blessing? Lord, I wanted a double portion of your spirit. Well, that's how I brought the double portion of your spirit. It wasn't just crossing the Jordan River. It was, how are you going to respond to what's coming at you? How are you going to respond to this that could kill you? How are you going to respond to it? How are you going to respond to those things that you may not understand and you've never seen before and you don't know what's really happening, but you know that that's going to convey this brother away and it's going to bring to me what you have promised me, Lord. Lord, help us. Help us to trust you. Help us to love you. Help us to depend on you. All right? And Elijah saw it and cried, Father, my Father, my Father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. He saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes, and he rent them in two pieces. He took also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. He went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elijah went over. So when he came to that crossing, when he had to cross over, what did he do? Did he do some newfangled thing? That's, well, let's try this. This might work. Let's try this. Well, I don't know. I know that's not how the old time folks did it, but let's try this. This might work. Is that what he did? No. He did what they did. Why did he do it? Why did he do it? It worked. It worked. And if it ain't broke, don't what? Don't fix it. Humility, faith in the Lord, trust in God. It'll work every time. The problem is you're trying to get over in some kind of way that you don't have to humble yourself. You don't have to do that. Lord, help us. But he smote the water, and what did the water do? It parted hither and thither. He said, all right, Elijah's gone. I saw him leave, and I know he's gone. But where's his God? That's what you and I need to know. Where is Elijah's God? Where are those old-time saints that we can list this board here with the folks that have influenced your life in some kind of a way? And they're gone. They're not coming back. Your mother is not coming. My mother is not coming back. Your mother, Sister Melanie, is not coming back. Your mother and father, Sister Lois, Sister Sharon, they're not coming back. Those that meant something to you, they're gone. And they're going to stay gone until the Lord comes back. But where is their God? What they were able to pray through. Are you seeking the Lord in that kind of a way? Do you have the level of determination and the level of sincerity that they had that you can testify that when you're gone, somebody is testifying to your legacy that you left? Did these folks think that they were so spiritual? No, they didn't. I remember one time, Kim's mother, the last Christmas that we had together, their mother came to. And I have a great respect for my mother-in-law. And she said to my mother, she said, you know what, Sister Lucille? She said, I know what she meant when she said it. She said, she thought so much of you. And she said, I want to be like you. She said, oh, no, honey, you don't want to be like me. You want to be like Jesus. And that's what she thought. And then she said, of course, she corrected herself. And I knew what my mother-in-law meant. But she saw something in her life that while she's going through the trials, that she appreciated. And when she appreciated it, she recognized, and I'll never forget this, Sister Eva Hardiman, we were there. I remember what she said, Sister Rose, she's not coming back, but you can be like her. What did she say when she was dying? What she said, if I'm faithful, I'll never forget these words, they're seared in my mind. If I'm faithful to suffer, she's laying on her deathbed, literally. If I'm faithful to suffer over here, then I won't have to suffer over there. And I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be faithful. Where is her God? That's the God that I want. She's not coming back, but where is the Lord God of Eva Hardiman? Where is the Lord God of Mother Davenport? Or Brother Chandler, or whoever it is that you want to, where is their God? That's what I want. And God is no respecter of persons. We settle for less because we're not willing to make the consecration. To die to ourselves. To die to what we want and our desires. We see what the world presents and all this glamour and glitter and all of the stars and all this, and we want to have a little fun. But it's transitory. Where is their God? Where is their God? Where is their Lord God? You are writing your funeral right now. You're writing the sermon that somebody is going to stand up and say in 15, 20, 30 minutes. You're writing it right now. You are creating your legacy right now of what it's going to mean when you die and whether somebody really misses you or whether or not they're glad you're gone. Lord, help us. Make it as hard for him as possible. Listen, it was hard for Elijah to let go, wasn't it? Where is his God? 15, and when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. They know that you have it when you get it. The spirit of Elijah does rest on Elijah. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Now, as you take into consideration all that's been said today, God is no respecter of persons. What he's done for others, he'll do it for you. You may not feel that you are in a position to be used by the Lord, but I can guarantee you that every person that the Lord has ever used in any capacity feels unworthy. And so that's really a good place to be in. And I believe the Lord wants you to find out where the Lord God of Elijah is, or the Lord God of those that have influenced your life in a great way. Don't look at the hypocrites. See, that's where folks get into trouble. Don't look at the people that didn't live as close to the Lord. Look at those that inspire you to be more like the Lord. May the Lord help us. Pray for me.